Okay, let's turn to God's word together. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's like food to us. And when we don't read it and when we don't spend time meditating and thinking about it, we're hungry and we feel. So we just pray, come Holy Spirit, as we look at your word together today, would you feed us? Would you help us? Would you kind of encourage us through your word today, Lord? Pray that as we open the Bible together, Lord, I pray that words would just come off the page and they would speak to our souls deep within. So we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So how we're doing it at the moment is that we're, you know, at the beginning of the week, we're not really going through a specific series. I'm just saying, Lord, what would you like me to talk about at our Sunday kind of live streams? And this week, through a whole series of things, it became really apparent that I was to talk from this book from the minor prophets in the Old Testament called Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. And we're going to read from 1 to 14, which is actually the whole chapter. It's a strange vision. So if you've not come across this before, you've not heard it before, I'm going to ask you just to bear with me, to stay with me, and I'll try and explain it. I'm not going to be able to cover all the points, but stay with me as best as you can. You know, it's strange when the person who's giving the vision keeps asking, what's this? Or the question asked of the person giving the vision is, do you know what these are? And they're going, I don't know. So you know it's a strange vision when the person giving it doesn't really understand it either or needs a little bit of time to grasp what we're saying. But let me read it to you and then I'll give a bit of background and we'll see if we can unpack this together. So it's Zechariah 4 and it's the whole chapter. It says, then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, what did you see? I answered, I see a gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hands of Zerubbabel. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and to the left of the lampstand? I asked again, what are these two olive branches beside the two golden pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. I love that. Do you not know? Anyway, there's lots about this that I won't be able to talk about, but I think the general principle, as I unpack it a little bit today, you'll see why we're talking about. Let me give some background. This moment in the book of Zechariah is kind of an overlap moment. It's bringing together lots of things that we all it's sort of covered in other points in the Bible. You've got Ezra and you've got Nehemiah. And then you've got this book, Zechariah, but also you've got Haggai as well. Just before touching this moment in Israel history, let me explain. What happened was Israel, God's people, were taken away from the land that God had promised them because they just completely turned their back on God. They went to a place called Babylon, and the phrase we use is they were in exile. And they spent a lot of years there. But then what happened is something shifted and changed in the sort of the leadership of Babylon, and they were allowed to go home to their beloved Jerusalem, the land that and Israel, you know, the land or the place that God had given them. And Jerusalem was really special. That was the place where the temple was. It was the center of their worship. So basically they traveled back, and what they found was the whole place completely destroyed, in absolute ruin. And so they set out on this journey of rebuilding. And you read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. They rebuilt the temple, and then they started to rebuild the walls and establish godly community and society there. It was a bit of a roller coaster, and we're hitting a real low point when we get this vision. We say there are two key people in the building, in the process here, that we need to mention, because they touch on here. The first is Jeshua, or Joshua, as some people talk about, not the Joshua from way, way back, but he was a priest, and he was key in the establishing of the temple. And then we've got somebody called Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor, and these two are really important, because actually what they're saying is that you need the priestly leadership, and you need the leadership in society. There needs to be this partnership for God to establish both the temple, this place of worship, the place of intercession, but also a culture of society in which God is honoured. So that's a little bit of the background. So what happens is the date of this vision is the 15th of February 519 BC. The rebuilding had begun, but it had stopped. There was a lot of external pressure, but sort of people trying to stop them. But at the same time, there was an internal lethargy in the people. They were just overwhelmed, and they kind of given up. So the building had stopped because they felt overwhelmed and discouraged. And then into this comes this vision. Okay, I want to look at this vision. Okay, I'm going to look at it. Bear with me, guys. We're getting there. Okay, I want to look at this vision, and I'm going to try and put my very best O-level art into practice here. Times like this, I wish I had some of our artists in the church with us. But let me try and draw a little bit of what this vision looks like. Okay, so in the middle of the vision, what we have is a lampstand, okay? So here's the lampstand, okay? But not just any lampstand. This was a special lampstand. It was probably the lampstand that they talk about in the temple or the tabernacle, which was kind of the mobile temple. And basically it was a lampstand with seven kind of candles on it. And the word for it is called menorah. You ask any Jewish person, they'll know what this is, the menorah. Okay? And what the lampstand signified, that's my notes in it, it was signifying the community of God. God's people. If you go right back into some of the earlier parts of the Bible, as I said, you know, there was this was placed at the heart of the tabernacle, the mobile temple, and it was really important because they would have lights burning in each of these kind of parts of the menorah. And basically what would happen is that the people were instructed to bring oil to keep it burning, and every day the high priest would go in morning and evening, and they would make sure that these little candles here, that the flame was always burning. Okay, so I think this is the lampstand that was in the vision that Zechariah had. So we've got the lampstand, which signifies the community of God's people. And then we've got the flames that were burning on the lampstand. And that was really signifying how Israel and also how the church is called to be a light to the world. Israel was always supposed to be a light to the nations. And you know, listen to these words of Jesus to his disciples, to us who trust in him. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And he said, "This light that's burning within you, don't put it under a bucket. Don't hide it away." Okay, so there's the lampstand, God's people, there's the light that shines, and the light is symbolic of God's presence, his power, his light, his life. Okay, you with me? now it gets a little bit weird, okay? Because what in the vision? There are two trees either side. And these are olive trees. Come over this side. Okay? So we've got these olive trees. And then above the menorah is a bowl. And going from one of the branches, or a branch from the olive tree, one either side, is a kind of a pipe into this bowl. And the olive oil, the oil flows into this bowl here. And then, is it weird enough for everybody? Then what happens is from this bowl, there are tubes that go down to each of the seven parts of the lampstand. And these tubes are really important because what they do is they take the oil from the bowl to each of the flames. Why is this important? Well, this is what I think is important to us. In the old days, way, way back, the priest would have to come and would tend the flames. It was morning, evening. They would have to bring oil and they would have to sort the wick out, and they would have to each day make sure that that flame never went out. What this is doing and what this picture is pointing to is a time when the oil would always flow. And so basically the oil is a picture of God's spirit. And that's what keeps this flame burning. So what we have in this picture is a picture of the way that the Holy Spirit is flowing constantly. He's flowing constantly. So we can always have this flame burning within us. And I think that is what the Lord wants to say to us today. There is a constant flow of oil. Our job is to make sure that we keep connected. Keep connected to that flow that comes from God. Keep connected to the Holy Spirit. Keep listening to Him. Keep pressing into Him. Keep seeking Him and desiring Him. And the flow will continue. And what will happen is the flame will burn. Right, that's enough of my drawing for today. I hope we get the picture. You know, the people back then had two barriers that they were facing. The first barrier was their sin. It was getting in the way. And basically, if you read Zechariah 3, there's this lovely story about how the Joshua, the high priest, had his clothes washed. And it's a picture, I think, of how Jesus washes us from our sin. And that is available to all of us through what Christ has done on the cross. The second thing they lacked and they were struggling with in the face of all this stuff they had to do in the building of the temple and establishing of God's rule and God's kind of like community there, was they had a lack of resources. And I think this is what God wants to speak about to us today. This vision is about ensuring that they were going to the source. This vision is about ensuring that they were taking hold of all God has for them. And I think that's what God wants to say to us. You know, if we start building in our own strength, if we start trying to do this in our own strength, there will always be a lack. There will always be a lack. But what this is telling us is that if we go to the source, there's a flow of God's Spirit for us that we can rely on every minute, on every day. The flow of God's Spirit is there. We look at it, we read it in John's Gospel. Actually, it bubbles up and it flows up. There's a stream, a source from within us. So I just want to finish by really thinking about three things, and they really will be brief. So three things about making sure that we are receiving, and we are receiving that flow of God's Spirit, that we are taking hold of it. Okay, the first is this: it's the Spirit we need. It's the Spirit we need more than anything. What does it say there in verse 6? This is familiar to some of us, I'm sure. It says there in verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I don't know about you at the moment, but I'm feeling and I'm seeing the frailty of human flesh. And I think if we lean in, rely, focus on Christ, then there is a strength that is ours for these days. And overcoming that is ours. We'll come on to that word in a moment. Jesus said, if we ask, then we will receive. So I want to just encourage us in these days that we would be asking and asking and asking for God to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit, trusting and believing that that flow is a constant flow. So that's the first thing. It's the Spirit that we need. And the second thing is this, it's by the Spirit we succeed. So it's the Spirit we need. It's by the Spirit we succeed. Let me just read from verse 7. It says there, "What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground." You know, mountains for them were the obstacles that they face. There was an opposition, an external obstacle that they were facing. There were people coming against them. They didn't want them to build the temple and build the city of Jerusalem back up. There was a mountain within them, their lethargy. They'd become overwhelmed and tired. And so they were just kind of going, they couldn't be bothered. And then there was an economic crisis. There was a struggle financially. And then also they were overwhelmed by all that they had to do. Yet these obstacles will be swept away. That was the promise of God's word. The mountains would be flattened. They would be able to complete what God had given them to do this. And they did this by humbling themselves before God, making him the starting point and receiving from him. I confess, this week I've been busy. I've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed by it all. So I've kind of lost sight a little bit. I haven't spent the time with the Lord that I've needed to spend. But I just want to encourage you, I'm speaking to myself here, that each day, if we just start the day with him, or at points during the day, we just sit down and centre ourselves upon him, receive from him, worship him, pray to him. And there will be a strengthening in that. There will be. The third thing, and the final thing, is that it's by the Spirit that we will proceed. This is what it says. "Then he will bring out the capstone with shouts of God bless it. God bless it." The capstone is the final thing that would be put in place. It's the final thing. 5 months after this, they completed the building of the temple. The work was done. Friends, these days are quite a challenge. You know, there's been a real kind of disruption in all that we were about. But also, that doesn't mean, what I want to say is that it doesn't mean that the plans and purposes that the Lord has for us are finished, that are stopped. We continue to have his work. And I think what we're hearing and what we're seeing is that there are opportunities coming all over the place at this time, linked to what is happening around us. We've got opportunities to share and to show and to display what God is like and his plans, and see his plans and purposes in these days. You know, God is not surprised by coronavirus. He's not. And we shouldn't be either in some respects. And maybe we're surprised about what it is. But, you know, this is what Jesus says. In this world, there will be trouble. You know, God hasn't promised us a trouble-free life. But what he promises us is that by his Spirit, he will be with us in the midst of any trouble that we might face. But then he says this, so in this world there will be trouble, but I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And I believe that Jesus invites us to be overcomers with him. In Revelation, in those first few chapters, it talks many, many times about to the one, it says many times, to the one who overcomes, I will give. There is blessing in our overcoming. And I want to really encourage you to think about areas in which your life, or in your life, where by his Spirit at work within you, you can seek to overcome. You know, these are interesting days, and some of us might have opened the door on fear. And I want to just say to you, actually, maybe today, maybe in the days ahead, it's time to shut the door on fear. And slowly just shut the door on fear. Maybe there's something that you're struggling with and wrestling with, and there needs to be some overcoming might be a really small thing, but that's okay, because when we overcome in the small things, there's blessing, and then there's the journey of overcoming in the greatest things too. So God wants us to be overcomers, and by his Spirit we can overcome. And I think this whole small thing, starting with the small things, is really important. You know, there's that familiar verse here that some of us would have heard before. And it says there, don't despise the day of small things. I really want to encourage you in the small things today. You know, we're pressing into his Spirit. We're receiving from him. And I want you to, really encourage you just to be living and walking and taking hold of what God has you, this flow of the Spirit that comes from him. And sometimes, you know, that flows through us on and is a blessing to our culture and our society and our families and those around us. And I just want to encourage you about the ways in which you can do that. I've got a little video to show you. We've asked one or two people to do a testimony. And Mark, if you could cue Alison's little video up, that would be great. Just something really simple. This is a section of what Alison's prepared. So a little section here about some small things where the Spirit of God is flowing through Alison and being a blessing to the world and the community around her. I want to pray for us now before we go back down to Sky at the Mackays to have a final time of worship together. And I want to encourage you to really look on this picture, to take hold of the fact that God's Spirit is flowing. God's Spirit is flowing. He is there for us to take hold of, to receive, and he wants to flow through us. You know, just small things, simple things there that Alison showed us in her little clip, you know, a card, thankfulness. These are just small ways in which there's an expression of God's Spirit flowing through us. So let's just pray right now. So we're just, you might want to just open your hands up before you. You know, we pray this morning that people would encounter God in their homes this morning. We believe that you can encounter him now. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. So whether this feels weird or not, it might be something you've never done before. I pray just hold your hands up before you. All you're doing is saying, I want to receive. I want to receive. And I just pray that each and every person watching this now and in the days to come, that your Holy Spirit right now would just pour out upon them. I pray that they would have a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit